We'll begin in Romans 1, verse 20. It says, for the invisible things of him, or the invisible things of God, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And he tells you specifically what he's talking about, the invisible things he's speaking of. He says, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they're without excuse. So he's saying his eternal power. That word power is what we're focusing in on. It's the word dunamis, a Greek word for dunamis that has a very broad meaning. It's creative power. It's a lot of times when you see the word miracles, and when Christ said, you know, I don't come in your words only, but in the power, that's dunamis. When virtue flowed out of him, that was dunamis. So a lot of different words they're using to describe this power, virtue, miracles, power. The Son of Man sits at the right hand of power. That's dunamis. Praise the Lord forever. That word dunamis is what he's speaking of here. And he says this is an invisible attribute of God and the God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they're clearly seen and discerned by what is made. So everything that was created, right here, Romans 1 is telling us they were created by Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and dunamis. It's an invisible attribute, but once it's in operation and activation properly, this power, this dunamis operating will create. It's a creative operation in God. And everything you see that's been created in the world was created by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and dunamis. Amen? So we're going to look at this in the light of specific answered prayer, because this is what we're after. We want to pray to God, whether you're praying for revival or praying for your needs to be met or for your son and daughter to go to college. Whatever you're praying for, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be miracles or signs, wonders, healing in your body, it's all the same process by which this flows. So I want to back up, back in the Lord's Prayer, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Well, look at verse 6 and 9. It says, after this matter, pray you therefore, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. We forgive our trespasses. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power. Every one of you have recited that 1,000 times this life. Wouldn't it be nice to have that answered 1,000 times? In this lifetime? Because this is a whole lot more than a recital. These were operations. Each distinct thing he was saying was a full operation of prayer. It was an operation of the Spirit. It wasn't just meant to recite like that, especially in a religious tone. It was meant to be understood. There was a position, actually. It was the first thing, our Father which art in heaven. This is knowing God as your Father and knowing him in worship. We're not dealing with this particular aspect. The aspect I want to deal with is what I call kingdom transfer. And more importantly, asset transfer, because God is about to unleash the sons and daughters in the earth that understand a little bit how asset transfer works. And this particular scripture is dealing with kingdom transfer and asset transfer, literal asset transfer. Not that you have to work 50 years for it, but to have transference of assets of something he's already paid for. How to apprehend the kingdom of God and getting it moving and functioning in our life. That's what we're after. We're not just here to hear a nice sermon, to go to a nice church. We are here to understand once and for all, how does the kingdom work? It's the Father said, it's because of my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, give it to me then. I want to know how it works. Some of us known God in here for a long time. We still don't have it. The first thing you have to do is admit you ain't got it. There's a whole lot of people being way too spiritual, way too accomplished when they really don't have it. The better thing to do, because you know something. It's kind of like being a teenager. You know something, but you really don't know anything. But being a teenager, you think you know something. And because we've all been through all the different movements that come into the earth, because we've been to the faith movement, we've been to the prophetic movement, we've been here and we've been there, we think we know everything. But the proof is in the pudding. Listen, when you know it, it will operate. There will be a consistency. I had to come to the place, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you obtain in God, it's what you can walk in. It's what's going to manifest. Amen. So I'm not going to ever stop learning until I learn how to get this done. The last thing I want to do is take my present knowledge base and think that I'm going to spend the rest of my life. Because a lot of people do that. They take the present knowledge base and they spend the rest of their life dysfunctioning. They dysfunction. But they're functioning at a lower level. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to learn. Amen. We learn how this works. How does it work? I don't want to spend the rest of my life praying and not getting results. Christians are the only ones that know to do that. We pray 50 years. It's just our nature. To pray. It's actually all embedded there. All the wisdom's embedded, but you got to get all the different parts and put all those pieces together. Really, the Holy Spirit can do that. I wish the Lord would just put all this together in one. But he likes to hide himself. So you go search him out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just don't quit. You're going to get 1,000 opportunities to quit along the way. The devil will see to that. You just have to have no quitting sense. Amen. So the second part, verse 10, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot packed in that scripture right there. The first thing you need to know about kingdom transfer is this. Kingdom transfer is from a position in God. You have to be positioned for kingdom transfer. Because when you pray, God is not going to bypass you. You need to write that down. When you pray, you're going to be a very integral part. Father's going to be an integral part. Holy Ghost can be an integral part. Jesus has an integral part. You have an integral part. The Word has an integral part. Everything working together. You're going to have to be positioned in God if you want to answer prayer, especially with kingdom transference, because you're going to have to receive something in order for your prayers to be answered. The Bible says when you pray, believe that you receive. Now we're defining what it is you're looking for when we say believe that you receive. Because you're not receiving the actual object of what you're praying for. He says, my God, say my God, will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Need constitutes financial. He's speaking financially. He's speaking tangibly at least. How does God supply a financial need in the earth tangibly from a spiritual riches and glory? That is all spiritual. It's all invisible up there. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's glorious and it's wonderful that it's all there, but it's got to get here. And this is part of this prayer is not to just say, oh, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not called to be like that. These are components of prayer. The first one is worship and understanding intimacy of God. The second one is called kingdom transference. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will has been accomplished in heaven. We want that to come down into the earth. First thing he does, talk about in verse 6. You know this. Even before you start praying, you got to get in position. Say position. When you pray, verse 6, enter. This is the part you're going to have the Lord. You're going to have to know the Lord because he's the only one who's going to get you to the Father. He says, enter into your closet or in this secret inner sanctuary, the kingdom of God. And when you shut the door, see, there's a shutting out of one jurisdiction into another. Wherever you're shutting the door from, that next place you're at, the Father's in there. Because it says, thy Father which is in that secret place, he goes, which he seeth you in that secret place, will reward you openly. That's what we want. We want an open reward. We want an open reward. Don't get too spiritual thinking you don't want reward. You do want reward. There's nobody I know that doesn't like when the gift gives given to them. Everybody likes reward. You shouldn't be seeking God for that. Of course you should be seeking God for that. God wants to reward you. So wherever your position, we know you had to get through that door. You had to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a major part he plays in it. He said, you pray to the Father. You pray to the Father. He says in John, he says, you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. What does that mean? Well, I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's what it means. Well, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. But what does that actually mean? If you really want to know what that means, what he's saying there is you have to understand where all this is coming from. It's a position you pray from, but it's also praying in his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is where in heaven. You got to know what's going on in heaven. Jesus sits at the right hand of power. The right hand of dunamis power. Hebrews says he's the appointed heir of the Father. Says it pleased the Father that in him all fullness would dwell. The more you recognize what he inherited in, everything that's in heavenly places, before it's in your name, it's in his name. It's like a trust that's being formed here in the earth. You form a trust, you put in your name, and they put wealth into that trust. You can put assets in that trust. Although the trust itself, it's not going to hold a house in it, but it holds the paperwork to that house. It holds the inherited rights to that house. You can put corporations in trust. You can put money in trust, things. They're held in a trust. That's what's going on in heaven. When the Lord, he was appointed heir, he received all of this on your behalf. We talked about this before. In Revelation 5, he said, worthy is the Lamb to what? To receive what? To receive power. That was dunamis. He received dunamis. Why? It was the original substance by which God created the earth, and he restored the operation of dunamis for all the sons and daughters. Worthy is the Lamb to receive dunamis, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. All of that is put in a trust. So when you're praying, Father, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And when Jesus says, I want you to pray in my name, you're praying in accordance to what's in that name. What is in that name? Everything he inherited for you is in that name. So it's going to encompass everything you're asking for. Because it's in that heavenly trust. It's in the name. Everything in heaven and earth is in the name. Say it's in the name. So that power, dunamis, Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches. Why would he need to receive riches? He already had them. He did it for you. And that's when he said, I'll supply all your need according to the riches and glory. It's a spiritual trust. It's a heavenly account. There's power, there's riches, there's wisdom, there's strength, there's honor, there's glory, the salvation of the nations. He said, I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Ask of me, son. Paul specifically in Acts 13 spoke of that being Christ at the right hand of the Father. And he said, now, son, I've set you in Zion at the right hand of the Father. Ask of me the nations for thine inheritance. It's all yours. The Father gave it to him as an inheritance, and he uses you and I to multiply that inheritance, to bring the nations to Christ. The apostolic government's there. There's a whole lot there. I don't want to get into all that tonight. But a part of that in praying the name, you understand when the kingdom transfers, when you pray to the Father, it's coming from somewhere. You're not just arbitrarily praying. You need to know where it's coming from. You need to have the understanding of what you're praying for. Know that it's been accomplished in heaven. If you don't know that, you're missing the boat. You have to know. Say no. You have to know that you know this has already been done in heaven. What you need to radically transform your life has already been accomplished in heaven. We get that part. How do I get it here? You have to know that it's finished before you even begin. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. You got to know that he finished this thing. Otherwise, you're going to keep asking him to do something he's already done. He's going to work from a finished position of inheritance. He's going to work from a heavenly trust that's already been paid for. I mean, when the Lord started bringing me into this, I said, Lord, where do I begin? And he told me where to begin. I said, Lord, that's going to be kind of costly. I can't do that. If you're going to put your faith out on something, put it out on something that's larger than you. Because mammon makes it real easy to obtain things in this life. To obtain it up front, but you're going to pay the price for it over time. This economy we live in, it's a system we live in. I'm just dealing with natural things, but you can do the same thing with spiritual. Healing works the same way. It's all going to transfer. But to understand, when you pray for something, what the Father is going to give is going to be different than what the Holy Spirit is going to manifest. You're praying for a tangible object into the earth. God is not going to send that tangible object and drop it out of the sky. It begins with an inheritance that's spiritual, that circumcedes everything, supersedes everything in the earth. When something comes down from heaven, it has absolute authority over everything in the earth, and anything in the earth must bow down. It's getting that transfer. And you write this down, he is not going to bypass you. That's why you're going to have to be spiritual. You're going to have to know him as Father. You can't just arbitrarily, I see people that, I mean, just religious is all good. They don't know anything about God, and they can recite that prayer all day long, and they're going to get nothing. I ain't praying for that forever. You have to be in position for that, because there's going to be a transfer. When that kingdom comes, it's coming to you. It's coming into you. It's going to be transferred directly to you by the mighty Holy Ghost. I want to talk about his role for a minute. So Jesus, he's the door to the Father. He's the heavenly trust. He dwells in us. Holy Spirit has an integral role, a major role. So here we see different components. Don't bypass this prayer. Understand what's going on there. He says, give us this day our daily bread. You know what he was drawing from? The daily manna. God wants you to understand he is a daily God. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. You got to get out of tomorrow. You got to get out of soon. You got to get out of one day. Or someday. Now faith is. Get into today believing. I don't care if it didn't manifest. Tomorrow wake up, you're back into one day. Give me this day, because God's going to teach every one of us in this place how to receive daily. I mean, we are going to pray a thing, it's going to happen. We are going to decree and it's going to happen. We're going to get the components to make it work. It's not happening now. I can assure you it's not God's fault. There's no problem with God. He has not lost his touch. But there are some things we need to learn. Amen. Now go to Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Wow, I'm glad they asked that question. You know what he did? He went right to the Lord's Prayer. Must understand the Lord's Prayer is not what you think it is. Lord's Prayer is way beyond what we think. It's not a recital. There are operations within that prayer. Kingdom transference is what we're talking about tonight. We're just dealing with one operation, kingdom transference, asset transference, spiritual transference. How about transferring an entire city to God? If Jesus said, could I not right now pray for 12 legions of angels, my Father would hear me? How'd you like 12 legions of angels show up at your doorstep? I can assure you, if 12 legions, that's 72,000 angels. If 72,000 angels showed up at your doorstep, I promise you, your life would not be the same. He said, I could readily pray right now and it'd come upon me. So he gets into the Lord's Prayer, same thing he did in Matthew. Then he gets in to a parable about a man, a friend trying to obtain bread for his friend. He goes to this man's house and wouldn't give him the bread. I want to move through that particular parable. Look at verse 11. He's still talking about answered prayer here. He said, now if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? He's going to give you a major component here. There's three major components to answered prayer. Three. This is a major one right here. Without this component, you will not get consistent prayer. You will live by miracles. You might live by a natural blessing on your life, but you will not get consistent answered prayer without this component right here. If a son asks bread of any of you that's a father, would he give him a stone or a fish? Would he give a fish him a serpent? Or if you shall ask an egg, would he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give? What'd he say? Wow. I never really understood that till now in a huge way. Because he was giving the Holy Spirit and he's talking about answered prayer here. The reason why is the Holy Spirit carries major, is a major, major component of answered prayer. He is the one that's going to transfer from heaven to you. He's also going to take what is transferred from heaven to you, and he's the one that's going to manifest, materialize it into the earth. Without him, you're not going to get it. He is one of the three. Say one of the three. Back in John, he said this. Jesus said he would receive of mine. He says, all that the Father has is mine. He says, he will receive what is mine. And he will show it to you. The Amplified says he will declare it. He will disclose it. He will transmit. Say transmit. And he says again in John 6, he says, all that the Father has is mine. So we know right there that everything in heaven and earth is under and in the name of Jesus. He goes, he's going to take what's in my name. When you pray to the Father, he's going to take that. He's the one that's going to receive it from me, and he's going to declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. Without him, we're in trouble. That's why you're going to have to know the Holy Ghost. You got to know when he walks in the room. You got to know him when he walks in. You got to be a little sensitive to him. If you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get transfer. You have to know him, just like you got to know the Father. People want everything from God, but they're going to have to know God a little bit, man. I want you to look at this real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Peter's talking about the resurrection of Christ out of Psalm 16. He says, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all eyewitnesses. Say eyewitnesses. Therefore, look at this. Being by the right hand of God exalted, speaking of the Lord, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, had shed forth this which you now see and hear. Now, when the Lord was speaking in John, he said, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And then a couple of chapters later, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a major part of the early church was divided on who was sending the Holy Ghost. They didn't know. Because he said the Father would send him. I got to tell you a little story. It'll take a couple of minutes. A friend of mine told me that he wanted me to do this Bible study in Dallas with a lot of leaders. A lot of leaders get together and so I ended up showing up there, and I was going to teach on the Mount Hebron inheritance. I was excited about it, and God just shifted my entire message right in midstream. And I started talking about this verse, and I started defining the roles of the Lord, Holy Ghost, and the Father. I didn't even know him like I know him now, but I knew enough. And I mean, the place got stone cold. I mean, just, I'm like, what is going on? This is good revelation. And I was talking about who's going to send him, the Father. Was it the Father sent him, or was it the Lord that sent him? Who sent the Holy Ghost? I preached right through it. I just preached and preached, and I mean, I thought they were going to, stone me. And at the end, they had this huge buffet of food, though. I can see why everybody wants to come to Bible study. My God, it was awesome. I mean, not one of them would talk to me. Not all of them, but the only one that talked to me was the guy that I brought. I turned over my friend. I said, they act like they don't like me. The guy come up and he had a little, I guess, an offering. And he goes, appreciate it very much. And my friend said, tell you later. I'm like, I was waiting to get out of there. I'm like, finish eating. Let's get out of here. I mean, when you're not wanted, don't stay. And we get out. I said, what is up with these people? I mean, you're the one that told me to come down here. You said they were leaders of the city. I thought I was talking to leaders. He said, they are oneness. They don't believe in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They only believe that, they don't believe in the Trinity. They believe in just God is one God. Expressed in three personalities. It's called oneness, people. And he goes, when you start talking about that, he goes, I knew we were in trouble. I said, well, God just set that up, didn't it? Sometimes God don't want you to know everything. Because he might want to tell, they've been having that same Bible study for 15 years. And they got the same stuff. They could not resist I mean, they couldn't resist it, whether they liked it or not, and we broke it down. Because that verse right there, I said, who's going to send him? The Father or Jesus sent him? They both sent him. Because the Father sent him into the right hand of God. Because when Christ was resurrected the right hand of the Father appointed him heir of all things. He shifted. That was the first great transference out of seven transferences. He transferred everything to the Son. The appointed heir, then he made you a joint heir. And then the Father sends the Holy Spirit to the Lord. The Father sent him. He just sent him to the Lord. He said, having received of the Father the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord turns the inheritance over to the Holy Ghost. And he says, and he's the one that shed all this. You see and hear. Holy Ghost fell out. He takes the right hand of God, and he brings it down. When the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. The Father of lights in whom there's no variable, that's not a shadow of turning. The gifts that come down are being directly transferred out of the heavenly account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is doing the transmitting. He is the one that does the transferring. If you don't know him, if he's greed, you're not getting anything. He's the one that's taking the fullness and bringing it down. He brings what you're praying for down. He brings something very specific. Turn into Ephesians 3. Now, Mark 11, just to review, he said, have faith in God. So when you pray, listen, God wants us to learn how to receive. Wouldn't it be nice if we learned how to receive of riches and glory? So now it was a mystery. How is a spiritual inheritance become a natural thing? Something happens in this process. This spiritual inheritance gets brought down by the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost, he's not going to bring it out there. He's bringing it into you. He's going to transfer it directly from the right hand of the Father. Why does he have to do that? Why can't he just bypass you? Listen, if God could bypass us, he'd already got this done a long time ago. The reason he has to come and drop it in you, he says, when you pray, believe that you receive, and then you shall have. Receive is two different things than shall have. Two different operations. Why does it have to come to you? Why does the Holy Spirit have to bring it to you? Why does he have to transmit it to you first? Because God has to have authority to operate in the earth, and he gave man original authority. Man has dominion in the earth, and he has to move into your dominion to operate, because God does not bypass man. He's going to move. That's why you know so many times you don't get your prayers answered, because you're thinking God's going to go do that out there. He's going to transfer something that's invisible. But it was used in the very creation of the world. The invisible things of God are clearly seen by which is made. When God manifests something, you're going to know it. But you're going to know it before it comes, because you're going to receive the invisible. And the Holy Ghost is going to bring the invisible, glorious substance of creativity and power called dunamis power. He's going to bring that down. Now, every one of us have an operation of dunamis power. You have it for your ministry. You have it in a gift realm. You have it in different operations. But when you pray specifically, dunamis has creative power. And very specifically, he created the world with it. He said it in Romans. He said his eternal dunamis power was used in the creation of the world, working alongside of the Word and the Holy Ghost and the Father. All of it was used in creation, and he's not changed. He's just going to move it through you. Holy Ghost is going to transfer the dunamis to you. He's going to transfer two major components to you, which will make up the three. Now faith is the substance of the thing you're hoping for. It's the evidence of the thing that you cannot see. There's two things there. There's substance and evidence. Really what faith is going to do is going to receive substance, and it's going to receive evidence. You need both of them. You need the Holy Ghost, you need the evidence, and you need the substance. Holy Ghost is going to bring both evidence and substance to you. You're going to have these components for answered prayer. The evidence is the Word of God. He is going to send a word. If you're believing God for something, you better have something you're holding on. That's the evidence of what I'm believing for.
You can't just arbitrarily ask for God. He doesn't operate like that. He sends evidence of an unseen realm. This word is my evidence that this thing exists. Find his word. Hold on to it because it is your evidence. You have to have that. It has to dwell in your heart. We've already been there. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's in the frontlets of your eyes. You hold that. What you're believing God for. Because God's going to teach us how to do things without working for it. God's going to teach us asset transfer. He spoke to that very clearly to me. When I see, and he told me, I said, well, where did I begin? When he was downloading this, I said, God, I've got the Holy Grail here. I know we're sitting on it. See, the thing about light, the word's a lamp to your feet. When you see it, you see it. It don't matter if everybody else sees it or not. You see it. You see something that hasn't been seen or been taught before, and it's exploded on the inside. You got it. I knew it was the Holy Grail. I'm like, where do I begin, Lord? I'm ready. And he told me what to begin. I said, Lord, that's expensive. He told me a natural thing to believe him for. He said, this is where I want you to start. I'm like, Lord, that's pretty expensive. It was over a year's salary for me. He said, what is expensive in the earth is paid for in heaven. I'm not asking you to pay for it. I'm asking you to believe. And he even told me this. I'm not even asking you to believe for it. I'm asking you to believe for what causes it to manifest. Did you get that? I'm asking you to believe and receive what causes it to manifest. No matter, you just pick something, what you're believing God for. When you pray to the Father, he's going to not manifest the tangible thing that you're asking for. That's not what he does. He's going to allocate a distribution of the word, which brings the evidence, and he's going to allocate a distribution of dunamis power, creative power, what he originally created the world with. He's going to, because Christ inherited all this dunamis. He's going to allocate it out of the name of Jesus. And when he does, the Holy Spirit, now pay attention. Don't be looking around because you're about to learn something. Listen, it's an allocation. The Holy Ghost is going to allocate that dunamis power. The Holy Spirit's going to take that allocation. He's going to transfer that to your spirit. You're going to have substance and you're going to have evidence. And you got the Holy Ghost. You have everything you need. The three components for answered prayer. Once you get that, it doesn't matter how expensive it is. It doesn't matter because you're not the one going to manifest it anyway. And you're not the one going to have to pay for it, even though you will write a check for it. God is going to make heaven and earth come down to you because you have the substance. It's the original creative power of God. When you get that, you're going to have it. You'll have the evidence and you will have the substance. Once you get that, the Holy Spirit then is empowered to take that evidence and take that substance and begin to create just like he did in the beginning of time when he created the world. He created it with the power of God, for the invisible things of God are clearly seen with that which was made. I don't have to clearly see that thing. I want the invisible stuff that makes it. Because once I get the invisible stuff that makes it, I'm carrying dunamis. I am carrying the evidence of the word. And I have the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's going to do that. But because what's inside of me supersedes the earth and all the systems of the world that's governing the earth, that power there will supersede and cause the earth to bow down. And he can move assets into your name. He can move heaven and earth towards you. He can make things happen that you could not do. It's called being an inheritor of the earth. Everyone say, I am an inheritor of the earth. But you're going to have to learn to receive from the Father in Jesus' name by the transference of the Holy Spirit. And you got to get an open channel. And that channel can only be opened by faith. Going to have to learn to receive the allocation. You don't have to keep asking God and asking God for what you want. What you need to do is get in a reception mode. And here's how you do it. Father, I thank you that it's your good pleasure now to give me the kingdom. I thank you, Father, you spared not your only son. How shall you not through him freely give me all things? Hallelujah. Every good gift, Father, and every perfect gift's coming down from the Father of lights. There's no variableness in you. There's no shadow of turning. You don't change. You haven't changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I receive the good gift. I have received your Holy Spirit. I have received the Word, which is my evidence. And I receive that creative force of dunamis power by which the entire world was created. I receive the specific allocation from the name of Jesus. By way of your Holy Spirit, I receive the allocation of creative dunamis power to manifest that thing I'm believing God for. Ah, somebody say amen. You got to get that channel open. You might have to do that. Father, I thank you daily load me with benefits. Day, today, today, today. And if it doesn't happen today, you get up tomorrow. You are not looking for the tangible thing you're believing for. You are looking for an allocation of a spiritual substance that'll change the world. And when it gets in you, Holy Ghost will immediately begin the manifestation. When you learn how this works, there's nothing impossible for you. I'm telling you, there's going to be some people who's going to get a hold of this. They're going to begin asset transference. You can receive healing the same way. He'll pull that substance, that creative substance out of the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, when that healing drops down in your spirit, that creative dunamis power, he'll take that and he'll create a miracle into your body. Now, when it comes to spiritual like that, he is creating. How do you know that? Because that woman that came upon the Lord, do you remember? She pressed through the crowd and she touched him. He turned around and said, who touched me? Somebody touched me. I felt virtue come out of me. That word for virtue is dunamis power. Jesus was walking dunamis power. It said virtue flowed out of him and he healed them all. The Holy Spirit was taking that virtue, that dunamis power. And as soon as it broke out, I mean, just as soon as he drew it out of the Lord's body, when it got into the atmosphere of this earth, he creates with it the same way he did in the beginning. He manifests with it. He creates miracles with it. That's how he turned the water to wine. Taking a substance when it's that dunamis that the Holy Spirit's working with. That's his glory, by the way. That's why you don't get to do the manifesting. We don't get to do that. He gets, now if it's something in the earth, he's not creating that. It's already there. He's calling the earth to bow down to manifest before you. Because you're a son of the living God. And you are royalty in this earth. This earth is for the sons and daughters of God. The reason why nothing's bowing down is we have nothing working. You have to get specific dunamis substance for what you're believing for. You can't just rely on the dunamis that's operating in your calling. That'll come by grace. You can't take that dunamis and get your answer prayer. Did you hear what I just said? Did you understand? You'll get a specific dunamis operation just for your calling. I have a specific dunamis operation for my calling, but that's not going to do me any good when I'm asking God. I have to have a specific allocation for what I'm asking God, and it's got to come from the Father in Jesus' name by way of the Holy Ghost. They that receive the abundance of grace will reign inside. You got to open that channel, and your faith has to draw down that reception. The Father requires it by faith, but it's going to come as a grain of a mustard seed. In other words, I don't have to go manifesting what I'm asking for. All I need is the distribution of that dunamis and that evidence in seed form. Holy Ghost is going to do the rest. Isn't that glorious? The Bible says even Jesus said he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and dunamis power. Going about doing good, destroying all the works of the devil. Yeah, come on somebody, hallelujah. He's standing in that house, said the power of the Lord was present to heal. That dunamis was on him. We need to be walking containers of dunamis power. Go to Ephesians 3. I'm going to give you a definition of dunamis, and I'm going to read this scripture, and we're going to close. Here's the Holy Spirit's definition of what he said dunamis was. The creative substance of divine essence and power that works in conjunction with the Word, of which the Holy Spirit employs to tangibly manifest the invisible kingdom of God in the earth. Did you get that? It says, the creative substance, divine essence and power. The creative substance, the divine essence and power that works in conjunction with the Word. That's the substance and the evidence of faith, by the way, of which the Holy Spirit employs to tangibly manifest the invisible kingdom of God in the earth. Now, Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, he's praying to the Father that he would grant you, look at this, grants a free gift. That means you're not going to work for it. He's going to grant you according to the riches of his glory. The same riches of his glory that he says, I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. What he's saying, he's praying to the Father in Jesus' name because he's praying according to the riches and glory that are in the name of Jesus. That's what he's doing there. He's wanting an allocation out of the riches and glory. He's wanting us an allocation. And watch as he called the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all dunamis might. With strength with all might. That word might is dunamis. To be strengthened with dunamis. To be strengthened with dunamis power. By your spirit into my inner man. See that? By the Holy Spirit. Every one of them are present. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Dunamis power. By your spirit into the inner man. See how it transfers to you first. Listen, transfer into your spirit, transfer to you. Once you get the transfer, now this is that Christ may dwell in your heart. Once this substance comes, it eradicates unbelief. And it causes the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of your promise. And it removes doubt and unbelief from your vessel. It causes the indwelling of Christ. Here it was manifesting into love. But once it comes, it'll manifest into what you've asked for. Now look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able. What he's saying here, he's able to do it because he's got something to work with now to do it. He was always able. You make him very able when you receive the substance by which he creates everything with. Now unto him that is able, verse 20, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, say all, that we ask or think. Here you go, asking again. Asking the Father, according to the riches of glory, being transferred by the Holy Spirit into your man, and now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The dunamis power that's now working in us. He's able to perform it because dunamis power is now working inside you. I don't know if he's able. I don't know if he wants to or not. He's able because you've got dunamis for him to work with. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think, according to that transference of dunamis. Glory! Everyone say glory to God.